Good morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. And we're talking business because we have Director of Economic Development, Trent Armbrust of Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce in studio this morning. I do want to remind folks, phone lines are open. If you have any questions, comments, want to get involved in the conversation, 785-537-1350. And Trent, that the combination of the music and the coffee is starting to kick in a little bit for me. I can feel it.
I can feel the energy.
Yeah. And let's go ahead and shift that energy to Aggieville, because that's an area when, speaking of, I mean, your job, Director of Economic Development, that's where a lot of development is happening right now over the last year and a half. So especially just kind of exploding there with a new apartment complex that's across the street. And this week, a big approval was made for the new hotel coming in kind of across that new apartment complex.
Yeah, Monday night, the Manhattan Urban Area Planning Board passed first reading of the PUD for the new Aggieville Hotel. That's going to be a Marriott property. It's going to have 129 rooms, and it's going to have its own parking structure incorporated into the hotel. They passed that 7-0, and so that process will continue to move forward in that zoning, but then also the development of the hotel site. It's beautiful. The artist renderings are fantastic. They're doing a brick front or brick exterior to the hotel to match some of the historic brick that's in Aggieville, and it gives a nod to the historic nature, but then also you have some of the more modern features that you see on newer hotels. And it'll align Bluemont, be right across the street from the Bluemont Hotel, which was a great addition to Aggieville and that whole corridor. And then also you mentioned the apartment complexes that are going up. And so we're really starting to see that vertical growth in Aggieville, and that's what we really need as we continue to redevelop that district. We want to maintain that historic core along Morrow, but then as we redevelop that other areas, it gives us opportunities. And Brady, we talked about laboratory space, and we talked a little bit about innovation and entrepreneurship. And one area that Aggieville could really shine is becoming an innovation district. And innovation districts are characterized by having density. It's really where people meet for networking, and it's designed for networking. It's for people to interact and have that density, though, so you have that chance of interaction, but then also have the services in an innovation district. So that's where you would have some of the business services, some of the entrepreneurial activities. So we really want to build that energy, because Aggieville already has many of the features that you need for an innovation district. It has the restaurants. It has the the bars, the entertainment pieces. Now we're going to add that living and that office and maybe some laboratory, and the parking garage is critical in this. And so as we talk about the hotel, that'll allow us to start working on the tax increment financing district, which will then lead us into the ability to build a parking garage. And so right now, the phase two of the Aggieville process is going on. You can take the survey online and provide your input on how you see the future of Aggieville. But there's a lot of pieces and parts to it, and we're very excited about the business opportunity that Aggieville presents for the community and the university.
Here with Director of Economic Development for Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce, Trent Armbrust. Again, phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. And we had Mike Dotson on, City Commissioner, Mayor Pro Temp was on Wednesday, I believe. No, that was Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Tuesday had him and Ron Beer on, and Mike brought this up, and one phrasing that I think he said that really kind of stuck out to me was that eventually we're going to see just a totally different sort of skyline for Aggieville, because this new hotel, it's going to be five stories, I believe.
Five stories, yes. It's going to have the first two levels, our parking garage, and then level three is actually where you'll check in, is on the third floor. And that will also have the restaurant bar area, and it has an outdoor patio that will also be on the third floor, as well as guest rooms. And then the fourth and fifth floor are guest rooms also. So it'll be a significant addition to Aggieville in the community.
Now, talking about that parking, let's go ahead and go into that just a little bit more, because if you talk Aggieville, you're not talking parking without talking Aggieville. I mean, it's very much intertwined if you're talking to anybody off the street. And there's some people think that we're losing parking spots with this. Are we, or is it just about the same? I mean, I know there's an agreement between the hotel and the city on that, as far as allowing different times for different levels of parking. If you want to kind of break down what we know on that.
Sure. I think we have to look at parking in Aggieville as a long-term situation, and we've been short of parking for decades in Aggieville, and the problem today is no different. The city has a parking lot that is right next to Starbucks. That's a city-owned lot of 42 stalls. The city is going to sell that lot to the hotel developer so they can combine the two lots to build the structure. So in the short term, we are going to lose the 42 stalls that are in that parking lot. The hotel is building a parking garage for its clients, its customers that are staying there. But in the agreement with the city is a paragraph that talks about working with Aggieville and the city to open that parking garage up for public parking during non-peak hours for the hotel. So we're hoping for some flexibility there. They reiterated that on Monday night that they were, that's the direction they want, the hotel developer wants to go. So they've done this in other communities as well. So we have that track record of this hotel ownership and developer working with communities on parking solutions. The other key part of this is that Aggieville is adopting some new parking management strategies, you know, time parking along the streets and parking lots, those type of things, the fine structure and all that. That will also help turn over some of the parking. We've got some long-term parkers in the Aggieville district that are there for not Aggieville purposes. And so, you know, parking management's going to increase the rotation and use of the parking stalls. That will hopefully increase the usability of Aggieville. Also, I don't think, you know, we'll make up for those 42 stalls through a lot of the parking management strategies that they're going to implement. Again, and a lot of that we'll see this fall go into place. All of this goes through it. That's all short term. The long term is the new parking structures that are envisioned in Aggieville. And we're, you know, 800 car size parking garage. That's the long term solution. And that's the type of solution that will bring further investment into Aggieville, because then you can bring in an office and there's places for their employees to park. It also makes it easier to use Aggieville. Right now, you drive into Aggieville and you look in this little lot, you look in that little lot, you drive down that street, you go look in that little lot,
and
you
drive around again.
You drive around again. Now you'll be able to go to one parking structure and find parking. So it will increase the ease of use of Aggieville going forward, as well as, you know, provide opportunities that just don't exist today for investment in Aggieville.
And where are we at on that? I know it's kind of a long-term thing, and that's something that's been discussed for quite a few years, whether it's been the city finding a way to put up a parking garage. And, you know, when you talk about the parking garage, and, you know, I lived in Chicago for a brief time, and parking there is, of course, I didn't even have a car there because I lived in Wrigleyville, and the public transportation was awesome. I never had to worry about that.
Right.
But if you did have to park anywhere, if you did have a car, I mean, it would get kind of expensive. And not that I would say that any sort of parking structure would require the type of fees that are charged in Chicago or New York or LA. Like, there's no need for that type of expense for parking. But, you know, I talk to some people, and a lot of people tell me they would not mind it, some sort of like $5 a day sort of fee for a parking garage in Manhattan. But then you also talk to some people that say they would be totally against paying for any parking in Aggieville. So that, how does that work? Or is there any sort of middle ground on that? Do you envision if we do have a giant parking structure like that, that it would have some sort of fee to it?
A lot of those details are being worked out, and that's part of the visioning process and the planning process, so we understand the costs and the users. We've engaged a parking consultant that's helping us work through that, and, you know, what do we need to charge? What's the market willing to bear? What are the needs to pay off the bonds on that parking garage? All those different elements aren't known yet, and that's what we're working through right now. I mean, that's part of this phase two process of what's that parking garage design? What's the streetscape? What do people want to see in Aggieville? But then we need to work on the details of actually how does that parking garage operate? What do we charge if we charge? All those issues haven't been worked out yet, but that's why it's important that the public engage in the process.
Now, you have the parking garage over at the by the Manhattan Conference Center with the Hilton Garden Inn, and that's been free. What's been the details on that sort of arrangement? Because that seems like that's been a good arrangement for both the hotel and the city.
Sure.
I was always surprised that it still remains free parking there, actually.
You know, and I personally haven't studied as much. The city staff has done a great job with that hotel, and they can give you a lot more detail. I think you just have to look at parking demand, and where, if you start charging in one spot, where does that push cars that don't want to pay, and where are they going to park? And so I think the situation by the conference center is a little bit different, because if you charge in that garage, there's other parking adjacent that people may avoid parking in the parking garage due to the fee. But again, that's not something I've studied, and, you know, I know that that's something the city looks at on a regular basis, is do we charge, do we not? Clearly the gates are in place that when they do need to do that, they can. But it really is a supply and demand issue.
All righty. Let's go to a break, and you know what? Let's talk a little bit more. I have a couple more questions on sure. Agville parking stuff. We'll go over more of that with Trent Armbrust here on News Radio KMAN. You're listening to In Focus.